Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Armenians all over the world today are commemorating a grim anniversary, the centennial of the Armenian Genocide, the historical massacre of 1.5 million Armenians at the hands of Turkish forces. The Turkish government for years has resolutely refused to use the word genocide, acknowledging instead that there was blood spilled, but not enough to justify a legal term that carries serious moral weight. Not only has Pope Francis defied Turkey's wishes this past week by using the G word, but even Germany has now decided to support a resolution in its parliament to declare what happened to Armenians as a genocide. Germany's own legacy involving the Jewish Holocaust makes this a significant move. In Southern California, which is home to the largest Armenian population outside Armenia, thousands are expected to gather for a march from Little Armenia to the Turkish consulate. They're calling it the March for Justice. Talin Yakubian is the co-chair of the march, and she now joins me in studio. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, before we get to the details of the march, how significant is Germany's decision to use the word genocide, and how important is it for any government to use it?
Well, obviously, we were very pleased that Germany, on the eve of the 100th, has decided to take that step. Obviously, there's a correlation between what happened in Germany with the Jewish genocide and what happened before that. In 1915 with the Armenian genocide. And as you know, the Hitler's famous words were, after all, who remembers the Armenians? So failing to condemn what happened in 1915 allowed, in many ways, what happened in World War II with Hitler and the Jewish population and others, as you know. So we find it very significant. Unfortunately, Turkey, I don't think, is ready to take that step yet. It's tragic in light of the fact that 100 years have gone by. I mean, it's in a way, it defies imagination.
Hmm. Are you disappointed by the U.S.'s indecision on this matter?
Yes, of course I am. I don't know if you heard, but yesterday there was an indication that this year again, even in light of what's been happening with the Pope last week, President Obama will not, in fact, be using the word genocide. Yes, we are very disappointed.
Hmm. In Southern California, which is home to the largest Armenian population outside Armenia, there is going to be this major march that reflects the feelings of Armenians, perhaps all over the world, that this is such an important issue. How has the Armenian community, particularly in the diaspora, outside Armenia, kept alive the stories of the genocide? Do grandparents and parents pass down stories to younger people?
Absolutely. Obviously, the transfer of information in today's internet age is much easier than it used to be. So anyone at any point can go online and research to their heart's desire. And the amount of information and documentation and evidence, photographic, real-time newspapers, is overwhelming. But each family also has their own personal stories. For example, my mother tells a tale of her, great aunts, all five of them, who, chose essentially to jump into the river and kill themselves rather than be, raped or tortured, at the hands of the Turkish soldiers.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a personal story. And, a year ago, my mother was telling it on stage and, she teared up and so did the audience. I mean, that's something that, you can feel on your skin and in your bones. So, absolutely, every family has horrible tales. I mean, I don't know one single family living in the diaspora that is untouched by a very personal story. My husband's grandfather was one of 11 children. He was the only one that survived.
Wow.
So it is 100 years, but it's really not too many generations past. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are, our grandfathers were witnesses. There are still witnesses alive, very old, but alive. So, and a lot has been documented. We have archives of 30, 40 years ago, there was a huge effort to document eyewitness tales, and we have all of that.
And so for this younger generation of Armenians who, of course, have no firsthand experience of the genocide and the mass deportations or even necessarily firsthand transfer of information sometimes, do they have an understanding of what's happening and how personally do they take it? Do you expect a lot of young folks at the march today?
We do. Actually, you know, that's a very good question. I myself am amazed at their passion and their convictions and commitment to this. I mean, in a way, you're right. I mean, they don't have any, you know, firsthand experience, but they are very committed to this, and also take this very personally. There have been such huge efforts by you know, people in their 20s and in 30. I mean, really, in every generation. Yesterday, I was at an art exhibit where the students had insisted that they wanted to you know, create art that would commemorate the 100th anniversary, and the variety of pieces that they felt paid tribute to our martyrs was amazing. It was awe-inspiring. Mm. People have created new songs for the occasion, new poetry, you know, again, art. The amount of creativity and passion and you know, I really do want to highlight that most of this is very positive. It's not in a negative way, and I'm proud of our community for that. And I also want to stress that the march also itself, I mean, it's in a way, yes, it is a condemnation of the denial, but it's also to honor the memory of our martyrs, and to also be proud that, you know, notwithstanding, you know, a million and a half slain. 100 years later, our you know, our community, Armenians inside and outside of Armenia, Armenians in the diaspora, have not only survived but have really thrived.
Mm. Well, the flip side of the focus on the genocide is the critique that some have that the genocide has defined the Armenian community and that people need to get past that. How do you respond?
Well, you know, I'll take that in two parts. I don't think that it's fair to say that we should get past that. Mm. Now, the issue of has it defined us? In a way, certainly it has. But, you know, also the Armenians date back, are a people that date back thousands of years. I mean, we have a history that's 5,000, 6,000 year old. We have you know, we're one of the oldest languages which is spoken. We have rich culture, heritage. You know, we apparently, you know, we're drinking wine and wearing shoes 6,000 years ago. I don't know if you know, but like last year it was discovered that, you know, in Armenia, a shoe and some winemaking paraphernalia.
6,000
years ago. Remarkable. Exactly. So we, you know, we have much more to offer. You know, music, art, scientific inventions, you know, airplanes. I mean, Armenians have been prolific in giving not only to this community, but to the world in what they have. And so I don't think that it's fair to say that we are defined by the genocide. But, you know, how can we set that aside? You know, how do you get over or past? You know, it's part of our identity. It's not completely our identity, but it's certainly part of our identity. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing to get, you know, over or past. It is what it is. It's a fact. And that's really, you know, that's certainly my position on it.
What sorts of commemorations are happening around the country and even the world today? There's a lot of marches, many of them aimed at the Turkish government, as the one in Southern California is. But can you give us a sense of how the world is going to be commemorating the Armenian genocide?
Well, actually, I mean, it certainly is a global commemoration. I was in Armenia a few weeks ago, and everywhere in Armenia, you will see signs of the commemoration. This is the forget-me-not flower, which I have.
For our radio audience, it's a purple flower pin that,
yes,
that my guest
is wearing.
Yes,
and it's called the forget-me-not. And the color purple is basically also the color that was decided globally to be taken from the flower, the color that's going to commemorate the genocide this year. And signs of the forget-me-not flower are everywhere, everywhere globally. Yesterday, I don't know, but the City Hall of Los Angeles was illuminated in purple light. It was absolutely beautiful. The Eiffel Tower will be turning off its lights in commemoration. There are concerts, exhibits, marches, literally in every metropolitan city across the globe. At exactly 1915 on April 24th, which is, you know, 7:15 for us, we're not on the 24-hour clock, are not used to that, the church bells all over the world will ring. The types of commemoration are as basically as many as the imagination. It is truly a global commemoration, and we are joined by, you know, our friends and neighbors in every country that we live in. So this is not something that's unique to the Armenians. People will be marching who are not Armenian. People are commemorating who are not Armenian. You know, scholars, Turkish scholars, you know, have been prolific in writing articles regarding what happened in 1915. You know, I really want to highlight that the denial is by the Turkish government. It is not necessarily by the Turkish people. In fact, you know, many Turkish people and scholars have openly apologized and regret that the stance that the government takes. So
and Turkish dissidents can be punished quite severely for speaking up about the genocide inside Turkey.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact,
they speak at great risk.
I was just reading an article about from a scholar, a professor that now teaches in United States today, a Turkish scholar, and he said that 25 years ago, he was intending to go into the foreign service in Turkey because his father was a diplomat. And he was giving a tour at a museum, and someone asked if there was freedom of speech in Turkey. And he said, there's freedom of speech, but not so much freedom after speech.
Huh.
And I know, very clever. In any event, he was arrested almost immediately. Just for saying that. He was arrested right there at the museum, taken to the police station, interrogated for 5 hours, called a traitor, and there was a permanent black mark on his record, which disallowed him from taking the Foreign Service exam. And so he went into academia, and he's very happy now. But I mean, imagine the consequences of that one, you know, of a 20-year-old, of that one statement.
So the authorities just proved his point, right?
There. Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk about what is going to be happening at 10 a.m. this morning for our Southern California audience, at least those who are listening on live radio. Are people flying in for the occasion, for this march from Little Armenia to the Turkish consulate? And I also know that there's going to be some events in the Bay Area as well.
But, well, actually, we're going to be joined. We're going to be joined by a lot of our friends and neighbors in the from the Bay Area, because the march is the biggest event that's happening outside of Armenia
In Southern
Los Angeles,
California. Yeah.
In Southern California, exactly. We expect, you know, thousands of people. You know, hopefully, somewhere around 100,000 people.
Wow!
So the march will begin exactly at 10 o'clock, and I invite everyone who can hear me to definitely join us. We want as big of a turnout as possible. It will be at Western and Sunset. It will begin at Western and Sunset exactly at 10. There will be a short program there. Mary Garcetti will be speaking. The march will go west to La Brea, then south to Wilshire, and then west again to the Turkish consulate at 6 miles. And there will be a program at the end.
So people should wear their good walking shoes.
Stay hydrated, yes.
Yes. It's going to be a cool day here in Southern California. Well, you mentioned earlier that non-Armenians are also participating. What is the importance of the commemorations of this genocide that took place 100 years ago for non-Armenians? Why should non-Armenians understand what happened and why this is such an important issue?
You know, this was a crime, just like any other crime. And I'm a lawyer, and I think we all have an interest that justice be served. And to the extent that a justice is denied, you know, I think that is a crime against humanity. It's not a crime specifically towards Armenians only. So, I mean, I think that everyone has a self-interest in knowing that the world will hold anyone or any government accountable for crime.
And so you are hoping for people to come and march in solidarity should they wear purple?
Purple or black.
Purple or black. And you mentioned earlier how the lot of the commemorations were marked by positivity. This is an emotional story, but it's also a grim one. I mean, 1.5 million souls killed, millions driven out, the mass deportations. How do you find joy in these commemorations?
Well, it's not joy. There is no joy in it. I would say it's more pride.
Yeah.
You know, pride.
Pride
in
survival, as you were saying.
Yeah, in survival, in the fact that they have found a way. I mean, think about it. You know, people came out of that desert alive. Yes, 1.5 million died, but some survived, and they did what they had to do to survive. And so, you know, as their descendants, as their direct descendants, you know, we have an obligation to honor. Honor their sacrifice, honor their memory, and have that same, I guess, energy or whatever you want to call it, drive to do our best.
And where can our audience find out more about the March for Justice that's happening today at 10, but also events happening elsewhere?
Everything that is happening is on our website. It's marchforjustice.org, and it's march4justice.org.
That's march4justice.org. The event for our Southern California audience happening 10 a.m., starting on the corner of Western and Sunset, and then proceeding toward the Turkish consulate. And we'll post information for our audience. I want to thank you so much, Talin, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Talin Yacoubian is the co-chair of the March for Justice. She is also a lawyer in Southern California. You can find out more online at march4justice.org. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.